Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A tough one for the Preds last night. They fall 4-2 at the hands of new division rival, the Carolina Hurricanes. They'll be back at it tonight against Carolina as well. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And to help us look ahead to that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Preds TV analyst, former Preds goaltender Chris Mason, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. C-Mace, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
What's going on, guys? Doing great. Hey, I'm on Rex Short and Robbie. I'm happy right now.
You should be. And we're happy to have you on with us. And C-Mace, obviously, I'd love to get your area of expertise, which is goaltending, on what you've seen out of the Preds and their goalies so far through three games. UC Saros, back-to-back wins. Pekka came in last night for his first start of the season. What have you made of the goaltending and their performances so far?
I think they've been great. Obviously, Juice, you know, a couple big wins. I think he's just, like, lights out. And, you know, I was really watching Pekka last night to see, because I know it's a tough situation. He's never, I don't think it's been since 2008 or something like that, since he hasn't started opening night. So just to see how he is handling the situation and, you know, this little transition that's going on here. And I thought he was great. That was a hard game to play for a goaltender because he didn't get a ton of shots in terms of the amount, but like the ones that he did, Carolina just comes at you. They're a high octane offense. They're so good on the transition. He had a ton of like grade A, high quality, high danger, whatever you want to call them, scoring chances, and not just your typical ones that should have been in the back of the net. And I just thought with the body language, the way that he recovered from giving up a goal, I thought he was awesome. He gave them a chance to win. So, and at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for your goaltender, and made the saves that, you know, you need to make when you're playing a team like Carolina to give the guys an opportunity to win. Unfortunately, you know, Carolina's transition, they're sick. Like they're one of the fastest teams in the league in terms of the way they play and the players that they have. You know, that turnover in the third period really hurt them. But all in all, I've been really, really happy with the goaltending. It's only three games, but they're off to a good start, both guys.
C-Mace, let's take Forsberg out of this question because obviously he's scoring 56 goals this year. other than him, one guy on this team through three games who's really standing out to you and impressing you.
Man, you know, one guy's hard to pick. I could list 100 guys. I thought Matt Duchene last night had his best game. He didn't get on the score sheet, but I thought he's generating offense. And the biggest thing to me about this team, and I won't pick one guy. I'll pick their identity as a team because it's been talked about ad nauseum in the offseason. You know, as analysts, we're getting all the sound bites from the players, from the coaches, and you know, at the beginning of the year, any teams, you know, they've got, you know, optimism through the roof. You know, you got a clean start and you say all the right things and, you know, you buy into the team concept. But as soon as the games start, you know exactly if that team is going to do what they say and if that's really who they're going to be. So to me, I think I have to give a collective, you know, choice here to the whole team because I just, even last night's game, I think as a fan, as an analyst, like I can watch a game like that. They lose the game. Obviously, they won't win. We want them to win every single game, but they played a good hockey game. They worked their butts off. You know, there's a couple mistakes. There's going to be mistakes, and sometimes you have to tip your cap to the other team that they capitalize on their great opportunities. But I've just really been impressed with the effort, the way they're playing, and you know, you talk about being hard to play against and a team that, you know, it plays a certain way and has the identity that the Predators are playing with so far, that's hard to play against. That's the type of team with that style of play and attention to detail that can have great success in the playoffs because they have all the intangibles on the roster. They have the makeup of a team, you know, that can have a lot of success in the playoffs. And I didn't feel that last year. I didn't feel that the year before, that they had the right balance, that they had the right attitude. They had good hockey teams, but to me, I just really, I don't know if you guys would agree, I've just been really impressed with the brand of hockey that they're playing.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason on the line with us, brought to you by Coleman Tractor. And C-Mace, I do agree. I've been impressed with what I've seen so far from some of the new guys, but a guy that we're used to being productive as well in Philip Forsberg, Joe mentioned it, off to a great start this year. Three goals in three games. And what stood out to me is just the commitment level he's shown playing a 200-foot game, a couple of the goals that he scored started with plays that he's made in the defensive zone. What stood out to you about Forsberg so far? And we've always talked about him maybe having another level that he can reach. If he's able to reach that, what do you think his potential is in terms of some of the best wingers in this league?
I honestly think that he can be right up there with, you know, pick a guy. You know, he's going to be up there with any of them. This guy is a fierce, fierce competitor. He's got extremely high expectations. He's extremely hard on himself. He's very candid and honest when he's not playing well. But this is a guy, he wants to win. He wants to be the best. And anything less is unacceptable to him. So I feel like, you know, with those intangibles, and you got to forget, like, sometimes you forget, he's still only 25 years old. He's still a young man. And, you know, he's only going to continue to get better. And I think, as you mentioned, you know, the focus, I think, with John Hines coming in last year with Philip Forsberg was the attention to detail. I said, you know what, don't put so much pressure on yourself to get points, you know, to look at the score sheet and be disappointed. If you take care of the details, the points are going to come. And I think, you know, that kind of transcends with Matt Duchene and the Joppa line. And I think they're really embracing that. Like the way they've been playing, they were awesome last night. That whole line was awesome. And you can see the offense that they generate. I mean, you guys know a couple of years ago when the Joppa line was a force every night. They were just so hard to contain. And, you know, they have that chemistry. And now they've got that fire and that next gear that, you know, we've come to love with that line. So I think... and if you get Joey going too, you know, Arby's going to be going every night, whether, you know, it's good or bad, you're going to get everything. And Joey seems to be going as well. And then you put Phil on top of that with, you know, he seems like a man on a mission so far this season. But I think you can put, he's in the conversation with anybody if he can play at that level or close to it for an entire season.
On that Duchene line, Chris, once Granlund gets back, which won't be too long now, what do you think the best combination is there?
Ooh, that's a tough one. You know, initially I thought it was going to be, well, before, you know, I thought it would be Duchene, Grant, and Cunning. I think Eric Hall is playing well. He offers, you know, a really good element to that line with the grit. He's a hard, working, fast player. He gets to the net very well, and he shoots the puck a lot. I think when you shoot the puck a lot, too, the way that they play right now, I think, you know, Cunning's got on the score sheet a couple times. You know, you're kind of waiting for Duchene to break out here, but they're creating chances. I mean, that's a tough one. It'll be interesting to see how they handle Granlund upon his return because, you know, did they start him out on the third or fourth line and give him some minutes down there to, you know, get back into game shape? Or do they try to throw him on that line? But I really think that second line, as we talked about too, a lot last year, a lot the year before, is you need a productive second line to take those matchups away from the Joppa line. And it just creates a lot more problems for the opposition. When you only have the one line, it's easy. You just put your best checking line, you know, when you're in the defensive zone, you put your just best checking line against the Joppa line and try to take your chances with the other ones. But if you can find the right combination between those four guys, is what I'm thinking, Halla, Cunning, Duchene, and Granlund, it's going to be something I think they'll tweak and until they find the right combination. But I think they're playing well right now.
See, Mace, it's obviously still very early into the season, and this has an opportunity to change as the season goes on here. But through three games, Roman Josi's time on the penalty kill is down pretty significantly, and John Hines talked about those being really hard minutes yesterday. What do you think that does for Roman Josi not to have to play as many minutes on the penalty kill? How much do you think that could free him up down the stretch here?
Well, that's why they did it. That's exactly why they did it, because, you know, you want your best players at 100% come, you know, crunch time, come playoffs, come, you know, if you're fighting to get in the playoffs, you want them to have everything left in the tank. And I think having so far Benning and Borowiecki, these are guys that have played against other top lines and had success. They've shut down. They can, as you said, eat up you know, the penalty kill minutes for Roman Josi. So he's not out there blocking shots, and those are hard minutes. And those are the ones, you know, those are the ones that really wear you down physically. So I think for him, and that's another, it's a funny thing too, is, you know, the defensemen haven't really got involved in much of the offense so far this year. So to have him, you know, as close to 100% as possible, and, you know, maybe Ryan Ellis too, or whoever, just have a little less of those taxing hard minutes, I think is going to just pay big dividends, because health, especially in a short season like this, health is everything, because you play so many games in the condensed schedule.
Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. C. Mace, great stuff as always, my man. We appreciate you taking time to join us, and we'll look forward to the game tonight against Carolina.
Thanks, guys. Great chat. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Chris Mason, one of our favorites here on the show on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll react to some of what C. Mace had to say there and also revisit our poll question of the day. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.